Welcome to Finding Brian, a show of self-help, self-discovery, and inner growth. Each week, we look at things learned through books, podcasts, and other mediums. Learning about productivity, spirituality, and discovering what I want to be when I grow up.
Hey everybody, hello, welcome back. Finally getting a podcast out. Been having a heck of a week, a couple weeks actually. Been down in Texas for two. Then I get back to the house. I've got to figure out we've got quite a few things I want to cover. I mean, everything from the dangers and harm that rumors do to whether or not you should really tell your children exactly what's on your mind. I think I've kind of stepped into something on that. And update on the rebellious teen. So we'll go ahead and we'll get ourselves started. Before I do that, actually, if you would like to, to make a comment on the show, whether I'm talking about something that's on topic, off topic, or whatever, please feel free to give me a call, drop me a line over at findingbrian.com/ or findingbrian.com, and I'll put the episode number for this particular show is, because at the moment I can't think of what it is. My brain just died. So, but anyhow, like I said, I've been just all sorts of busy, and it's not been where I've been wanting to sit around and laze around, because I haven't been able to get crap done on Project Kick, otherwise known as Podcast Dojo, or the supplement podcast that's going along with it. But what's been happening in my world? A lot of things, really. First off, I was down in Texas. I'd gone over to Big Lake. Actually, not even Big Lake. We were over north of Pecos, Texas. And we're there for 2 weeks. Just boom, 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 boom. We did one, it was over by Big Lake, and then another one over by Pecos. And it just kind of wore us out. I tried to do a couple of shows, and just, I don't know what it is. Every time on the first set of a job, whenever I get out there, I immediately am exhausted. I don't know. I think it's more habit than it is anything else. I think it's a very mental thing. So it gets, I'll get out there and I may have been asleep for 6 hours previous, and I'll get there and I'll sleep for another six. And so it takes a little bit for things to finally kind of click, and then all of a sudden, hey, I'm good. We're good. Let's do our thing. Where I can actually stay up and be able to, you know, I feel rested. I don't feel drained out, drained of energy or anything. But some of that, I think, is just the morale that had been falling, that work had been falling into. Because about 3 weeks ago, there was a mass exodus would be a best way to describe it. And it fell upon rumor. Now, I'll preface this up front. I'm as much a part of the rumor as everybody else was. things started being said, things started going around because, well, first off, we ended up having the pace scale that we run on at work, it got changed, it got lowered. So a lot of people weren't happy. They were seeing this as, well, we've already got too many guys. I personally kind of think we've got too many guys, but I can understand why they have 25 drivers available. And that's because when you tell a frac company, hey, we've got 25 drivers that can that'll haul for you, that puts their mind at ease. I understand it puts the frac company's mind at ease that, hey, they're going to have the sand available and ready when they need it. And so if we have to go all the way to Louisiana and drive all the way across the state of Texas to deliver the sand, which luckily we haven't had to do yet, or too bad we haven't, depending on which end you want to look at it, because money-wise, that's a good run. Energy-wise, that's a sorry run, because while you talk about being tired, and there's no rest for that one, because you get down there, you get unloaded, and you have to haul butt back. You hope that they screw up somewhere along the way. But, so you got, you, this amount, what do you want to call it? This pay grade, decrease really kind of irked a lot of people. And I understand. I was too. I was a little like, oh, great, they're taking their, we're, and I'm not blaming the company that I work for. I was pointing my blame towards the frat company. But at the same time, I'm so conflicted on that because I can see why the frat company's got to try to save money, because that's their job, to make money, not spend money. It's not even the company that I work for. It's not their business to make sure that I get it's not their business to make sure that I get paid an exorbitant amount. That's not their job. Their job is to make money, and my job is to make money for them. And so, like I said, I'm conflicted on it, and that's one reason why I'd like to have my own job. That way, all the money that I make is being made for me. Actually, it'll be made for my business, and I will be paid per that. But, so, we got ourselves a decrease in pay. People got unhappy. Rumor mill, when you have people are unhappy, you have a problem. And that problem starts moving sideways. That problem moving sideways is a rumor. Because all it is a person sits there and they talk to someone who can't fix the problem. You sit there and you talk to someone who can't fix the problem, you're not helping matters any. They're not going to be able to fix the problem. They're not going to help the matters any. The best thing for folks to do is, if you have a problem, think of and come up, work out a solution to whatever that problem is. And go to the boss and go, hey, I'm seeing this problem. This is what I think you can do to fix it. They take the job, they take the information, they run with it, yay! They take the information, they don't do anything with it. Well, at least they know that you're aware of it and you made an attempt to fix it. After that, it's all up to you. You don't go off and go start talking to another driver going, well, they just didn't care. I was costing them too much money or something. They just don't want to, and just wham, 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 and start really grumping. Because it's not going to fit. Grumping griping, complaining, throwing a fit's not going to fix the problem any more than any other driver's going to do. But what a rumor does is it is a spreading of misinformation, or a lack thereof. Misinformation is like asbestos to mesothelioma, and mesothelioma being the rumor, otherwise known as a cancer. Misinformation, lack of communication, will always cause the cancerous cells of rumors to develop and spread, to where all of a sudden you have six people just peel off of a company. Now, I'll let you know, that's a good thing in my book, because I was still here. I wasn't fed up enough yet to say, I'm out of here. Now, I was a little worried. I was starting to get a little scared, because I'd heard things like Snyder National, which is a truck hauling company, usually in the orange trucks, they do have sand pneumatic trailers. And there was the rumor running around that they had actually gotten a contract with Weatherford, not just a yard in Weatherford, but all of Weatherford, and that they were taking over, and they had gone through and undercut everybody at 22 cents a mile, which you're thinking, well, is that really that low? Yeah, that's, you can't operate. You're working at a loss, which is basically, I mean, it would make some sense. That's something that a large company like Snyder might do, because they can afford to take a hickey on a department to drive out some of the other competition. But it didn't. It come to find out, no. I mean, they may have wound up getting a job and getting a contract with a Weatherford yard, but not all of Weatherford. And so we weren't out of a job there. But we still ended up having six people peel off, leave, said sayonara, they quit, they got out of there. That's not good. I really, three of them were very good friends of mine. And it really hurt to see them go. I still try to keep somewhat in touch with them, so that they know that whenever I start doing my mastermind group, because I'm going to be getting a mastermind group together to help me and to help them and to help my other friends that I want, and to develop friends, because I'm honestly, I've sat around here for the past year thinking I don't have a very close confidant type of friend. I don't have someone who I can just sit down and go, hey, I'm thinking this. What do you think of this? This weird, bizarre, off the wall problem. I don't have anybody I could trust enough to ask that to. I don't have anybody who I can just go off and go, you ever thought of robbing a bank? Just out of hypothetical reasons. And not have to worry about the person going, you know what, I think Brian's got himself into something. He's talking about robbing a bank. Or to express a fear. Because, I'm sorry, guys we think differently than what women folk do. I think you know that. Most guys realize that, especially after you're married for a couple of years. Usually after about the first 5 years, you finally figure out women are just on a completely different mindset than men. You sit there and you talk about something. Women will ask you a question or tell you something, and so you repeat it back, and they go, "No, I didn't say that." "Yeah, you just told me that." It's like, "No, I said do this." That's what that means, isn't it? No. me and the wife have had that discussion several times. "That's not what I said." "Well, that's what you told me." But that's that communication. To bend that back around to what I'm actually supposed to be talking about. Communication. You have to... It is the important job of the leadership of a company to feed that all what's happening in the company down to the people.
Yep. I'm over here
by over here on location. We got trains going by about a half mile, maybe a mile away. Yeah, about a half mile. So that's all the great noise. I'm eighth of a mile away from Interstate I-35. So, you know, beautiful day today. I didn't mention that beforehand. It's overcast. It's not hot. It's probably in the, mid-70s. And humid. Very humid. And I mean, it's so humid you can smell the moisture in the air. And I love those. I love that smell. I know I'm weird, but at the same time, I'm taking a side route and on purpose this time. I love the smell of humidity because it brings me back to whenever I was 10, 11, 12 years old, and I would go see my mom down in Dallas. Dallas had that was humid back in the 80s. It was that humid time when global cooling had stopped and global warming was coming on. Now that we're switching back, you know, things are going to go back to the way they were back in the 80s, which is awesome because I loved the weather of the 80s. Winters were cold and they were snowy and lots of snow on the ground and blizzards and, I mean, just so many things back when I was growing up that are so great. But anyhow, it's great. I'm over here by Perry, Texas. If y'all want to look that up on the map, see where in the world I'm at this week. So, but anyhow, back to communications or the lack thereof being the problems that causes rumors. And rumors, or communication, more on topic, is something that has to be done. You have to communicate. You're always communicating in one form, fashion, or another. You're either talking about how, where a person needs to be. Need to take a load of sand from Clinton out to El Paso, just for a hypothetical. That's a communication. Not much information has to be in that. But when it comes to the state of a company, and a company, leadership-wise, a company really, really, really wants to actually overshare. You want to get to the point where it's almost uncomfortable sharing. Now, I'm not saying that a business owner needs to start telling his employees how much he makes. Don't need to be telling them, "Hey, this is..." Because, honestly, when it comes to how much he makes, that's a nunya. There's a line between information that employees and staff needs to know, and then there's the nunya zone. And the nunya is nunya bit damn business. Don't need to worry about it. how much the boss takes home each month, none of your business. Don't even worry about it. Don't even bother asking it. I mean, you can ask if you want, but don't be put off and don't get butt hurt if the boss says that's a nunya. That don't, it's none of your business. Don't even worry about it. You don't need to be worrying about what your coworkers make. That's none of your business either. You need to worry about how much you make, and that's all you need to worry about. You think you're not getting paid enough? Work harder. Become more invaluable. Because as a business owner, or a business employee, you're on permanent evaluation. Boss looks at what he pays you and decides, is this guy being paid what he's worth, what he's being paid? You want to make sure that it's getting, no, we should be paying him more. If you get a no, we're paying him too much, you're in trouble. And that's where you start facing the evaluation of, you know what, we need to go ahead and let him go, cut him loose, because he's costing us money. While fixing to get a little noisy, we got drivers here fixing to fire up the trucks. But you can have different different issues that crop up with a company that don't need to be issues at all. I mean, one of the problems with that we were having was that people were beginning to think that the company was going fixing to go under because they were having to cut their prices. They were cutting their prices again, and they weren't going to be able to afford all this other stuff and yada yada yadas. No, the truth of the matter is that the sand hauling business is starting to get saturated. You've got everybody. We've had trucks from Wisconsin down here hauling. Why are they that far south? Well, one, the fracking companies up there were needing a load to come down, so maybe they were just down here just for the time being. Maybe they're trying to move into the Oklahoma area. Either way, most of them are fly-by-night companies. Now, some of them are going to be here for a while. Conley, National Freight Hauler, goes coast to coast, does long hauls, also does now sand hauling. Is there anything wrong with that? Well, yeah, because they undercut us. They have other means of being able to make money. They have undercut us before. They have gotten their foot in the door, so to speak. And so it's going to be really tough now to get rid of them. Now that they've gotten themselves established, they're going to want to start trying to raise their rates. Difference is, you've got a personable effect when you work. So when it comes to competition, you want to... You've got to look for those added little, you know, the little polishing touches instead of just sitting there worrying about what the competition is doing. You should actually make the competition inconsequential. Be a good way to be where you're not going to worry about them. Don't worry about what the competition is doing, unless the competition is beating your butt. And then you should worry about it and emulate as much as you can with them. So, but all this information boils back to, you got to know what to tell your employees. And the best thing I've come across, and I've heard people say time and time again, everywhere from Dave Ramsey on, is overshare. tell them so much stuff that, you know, it starts getting a little uncomfortable. Because they will, as long as you give them all the information that you possibly can, the chances of them going, well, this rumor is no, because we know this. And so they know that the rumor will be extinguished because we've already know that the sand hauling business is pretty saturated right now. There's a lot of people hauling sand, and so the rates have hit rock bottom. They're going to stay rock bottom for quite a while until there's no one left to do any, no one left around except for those who survive. It's kind of the burn-off period. You've got a massive amount of underbrush. So what happens is fire comes through, it burns off the excess. And so everything is able to breathe and grow a little better. So sandstone and JKM and Gene Burden and Trican and some of the other local, well, Trican's not really local, but still, some of the local sand haulers get around to going, hey, we need to, we've survived, we've got all the trash burnt away, those companies can come back and grow even larger and help more people out. So, anyhow, that's the business lesson that I have learned within the last 3 weeks that I haven't been doing a podcast. When you start up your own business, make sure you overshare. And when you overshare, that will help keep the cancer of rumors at bay, because the carcinogen of lack of information will not be there. So, now, something else that I learned here just within the last couple days. I'm trying to figure out if I've learned something. Probably not, because I've got a big mouth. Obviously, I've got 4 podcasts that I'm putting together. Right now, 2 of them are running. 2 I haven't. I'm trying to get out the door. Thing I've learned, problem with a big mouth, is I kind of hacked the old kiddo off, and not my son. No, we'll get to him here soon. I'm talking about daughter, the good one, the good child, so to speak. Jaden, he's actually very good also. Just he's hell-bent on trying to make sure that he proves us wrong by doing everything, doing the opposite of everything we tell him not to do. So, but now Munchkin, she had a friend show up here and had to stay the night a couple three nights ago, and she stayed the night, and I mean, her and Lexi did what little girls do. They sit there and just you talk non-incessantly. Actually, the friend talked about 4 times as much as what Lexi did, but still, just talk. But as she talked, I listened. And as I listened, just started really not making a whole lot of sense. This girl, according to everything that I heard, makes the characters of Les Miserables seem like they were at Disney World. Everything's going wrong with this girl. She's had almost, according to her, they were out walking around in the little bitty freaking town that I live in. And they come home, and Lexi was wanting to go night, go swim in the pool while it was dark. She was wanting to go night swimming. And her friend was like, no, I don't want to. I'm just too freaked out because those people tried to abduct us. No, instantly you're like, what? It's like, well, there was this van and it came by and it picked up two girls, and they're sex traffickers and stuff. And so just it went off on this whole giant tirade. It's just, you get finished listening and you're going, really? You took something that you have no idea about and converted it into this horrible story that you were almost abducted. And then she turns around, and a couple hours later, her and Lexi are again sitting there talking, and she's talking about how horrible of a trip to Colorado they had just last week. Apparently they had gone to, well, not even, it was 2 weeks, according to her, it was about 2 weeks worth of traveling to Colorado. They got up to Colorado and they were going down a hill and the brakes went out. Okay. Only two things caused brakes to go out. One, you didn't have any brake fluid in your brakes, so you didn't do proper maintenance on your car. Okay. Or you had a brake leak. Either way, very evident to be, you can very easily tell when there's a problem with your brakes before you go to someplace like that. All right, but she, all of a sudden the brakes went out. The other thing that causes brakes to go out is if you're in a truck, and usually if you lose your brakes, it's called glazing. It's not going to happen in a car that uses brake fluid. Not near as easy anyhow, especially ones that have got anti-lock brakes. Drum brakes are going to happen a lot more on drum brakes than it is on disc brakes. And so you kind of see where I'm going on this. Throw your hands up and you cry bullshit is the best thing you can do. It's bull. 100% unadulterated, high-grade manure. So apparently, according to her, that they had a brake problem, so they had a mechanic come out, work on it, and then after that, the car just wouldn't start. Well, they had to borrow her aunt's car to get back to the house, and a week later, the car was ready, and so she wasn't able to find anybody to go get the car. Well, she's got her aunt's car, but, you know, still, got her aunt's car, and went and apparently got the car, and the starter, they completely messed it up. They can't get it to, the key's messed up on it, and you have to do four different things to it with the key to be able to get it to start. It's like, okay, yeah, all right, I can understand. Cars break down. You may have a problem with the starter, but it's not the mechanic's fault. And every time she told us, this girl would tell a story, it just got, it was just something else. You just sit there and scratch your head going, really? Okay. There's a very slight plausibility to it. Very slight. But I'm sorry, you haven't gone through more stuff than me or my wife have in your minuscule 12 years that we have in our 20 or 40. I wish I was only 20. So, just one of those where you just kind of sit there and go, not buying it. And I told Lexi after we dropped her little friend off that I wasn't impressed. I was not impressed with her friend and her friend's story. Well, that kind of bent Lexi's nose out of shape, knocked it out of joint, and she was not. She pretty much didn't talk to me the rest of the day. So, I mean, it's one of those where maybe I should have kept my mouth shut, maybe I shouldn't, but I've got my reasons as to why, because this girl is nothing more than an emotional leech. I see that as she's telling these exorbitant stories as a means to go, oh, sympathy, pity, give these to me. I want to feed off of those. And that's how I see that, and I don't like that. That's an emotional mooch is another way to look at that. And I'm not a fan of emotional moochers. So, but yeah, I mean, she's gotten around to forgiving me now. It's been 3-4 days since then. And she's now turned into a 13-year-old. So, just all sorts of, you know, fun games. And woohoo, that's going to be coming in with that. But the other one is really putting us in a bind. Because really can't decide what we're doing here. I mean, he's got very simple 2 summer classes he has to get done. And I was afraid this was going to happen if we had his friend come and stay the summer with us. Afraid it was going to happen, but I'm not. I wanted to hope that things were going to catch and were going to look good and things were going to carry out and be, you know, maybe it would help put him firmly on the straight and narrow, because our friend is, he's a good kid. I mean we've had a couple little issues, but they were very trivial issues, and just mentioned them to him and poof, poof, okay, sorry, correct, the course corrected, and we're back on track. I mean, this kid gets himself up out of bed in the morning, leaves, works his butt off till about 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, comes home, lets us know that he's going to be heading over to